Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Infobeam Technologies Limited Q3 FY20 earnings conference call, hosted by Saarthi Advisors Capital Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Surabhi Jain. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thanks, Inba. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining us Q3 FY20 earnings call for Infobeam Technologies Limited. The results and investor updates have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, Co-founder and CFO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow with a Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you will find on our website. With that said, now I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash Sethi. Over to you, Avinash.
Thank you, Surabhi. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining the call for Infobeam. I really appreciate that. I'm assuming all of you have the presentation, which was shared over the email. It is also there on our website. I'll be reading from there. So this is the first time that we are consolidating our acquisition numbers, philosophies, numbers for the quarter as well. Before we jump there, let me brief you about the company. We have been in business for the last 20 years, working on the custom software development side, primarily around product engineering, digital transformation, and automation DevOps. We've been named a certified CMMI Level 3 company for the last six, seven years. We have state-of-the-art infrastructure globally, starting from India in Indore, which is our headquarters, Pune, which is our software development center, same with Bangalore. And with the philosophy acquisition, now we have two more offices in the U.S., one in Santa Monica, another one in Manhattan, New York. And we have one office each in Germany and Dubai. We have all about 900 professionals working with us across the globe. This is a slide on the revenue growth for the last five years, from FY15 at 43 crores to FY19, 120 crores, a CAGR of about 29%. The revenue spread is increased in the U.S. because of the acquisition now, and Middle East is about 3%, Europe is about 5%. We are what we are because of the experienced core team, which is our middle management team. I'm proud to say that most of those middle managers are with us for almost eight years or nine years with Infobeam. So that's the strength of Infobeam as a company. We have directors of delivery, head of people, head of client success, user experience head. All of these have been with us for over a decade. Some of the key milestones: we started in the year 2000 and acquired Philosophy in 2019, and our revenue has crossed 120 crores last fiscal. We are at 52 crores quarterly run rate now. So, and yesterday itself, we were named by Economic Times as one of the fastest-growing companies in India based on the last three years of revenue figures. It is published on Economic Times, and we have shared it on our social media also. It just happened yesterday. Some of the awards and the certifications that we keep talking about, and we are very, very proud of receiving a Great Place to Work award multiple years. We've also been named as Dream Companies to Work For. We also get awards in the social, corporate social responsibility area. Recently, we've started a program I would just want to share with all of you. Is we are doing a one-year intensive software engineering program for underprivileged section of the society. This is, you know, rigorous 9-to-5 kind of a program every day for 6 days in a week. And this will run for a year, and it is going to be free for all the weaker sections of the economy. We are starting with the first batch of 25 people in the month of February. State of the art facility, as I talked about earlier, both in Indore and Pune, now in Bangalore. Meanwhile, while we're talking, we are also working towards expanding in Pune because one of our customers want us to be, sorry, in Chennai. One of our customers want us to be in Chennai as well. So next quarter, we'll have an update where we'll have Chennai office as well. Some of the pictures of philosophy office, because this is new to all of us. They have, as I said, two offices, one in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, and another one in Manhattan, New York City. Pictures of both the offices are there. The beauty of their LA office is it can be converted into a mini conference arena where they do startup events, and they're very active in the startup space. So pretty known company in Santa Monica region. Highlights for the quarter, we have added 5 new clients in the last quarter in Pumins alone. We also received the best exporting company from Business Today, conferred by Mr. Kamal Nath, the Honorable Chief Minister of Madhya Pradesh. One of our clients, which is Viatech, also received an award on the application that we have built for them. This is a golden award for best advancement in mobile technology. So we are very proud that our client has received that award for an application built by us. And another you know, interesting news is that we have added 140 seats to our first floor office in Crystal ID Park. So we put together, I have a capacity of about 900 seats, about 1,000 seats actually in India. Put together Bangalore, Chennai, Pune, and Indore offices. However, the headcount is about 850 in India. So we have spare capacity to our end, which we anticipate to consume in the next 12 months. Now, this is a slide of all the esteemed clients that we have. You know, these are very long-term relationships that we have with ALM, which is more than 15 years in making, IQVR, which is about 8 years relationship so far, CoAdvantage, again, 7-8 years, Viatech, again, 6-7 years, and Unimoney is about 2 years. So, interesting client list. And now, you know, here are the bigger names, Fortune 500 companies, where we can't name them based because of their services agreements with us. So, which is the first one is a Fortune 200 company, which is the world's largest logistic company worldwide. Second is a Fortune 100 company on the electrification, automation, and digitization space. The third one is Fortune 600 company in the software networking company, in the software networking space. The fourth one is Fortune 100 insurance giant. We work with them in the Middle East. And the other one is a Fortune 500 company in the storage solution space. Client with us for a dozen years now. These are like Fortune 500 companies as our important clients. This time we have introduced a slide which is the key clients from philosophy that we have in our fold now. So American Express is one of the well-known companies there. Amazon, all of you know, and WeWork. You know, the prime companies that they are working with. Similarly, there is a next row of accounts which I can't, which are under NDA, I can't name it, but one of them is a Fortune 500 company which we very well know. The other one is a Big Four consulting company, and then the third one is another large consulting group based out of US. So very, very big set of clients in our portfolio now. I would say about a dozen Fortune 500 companies now in our portfolio put together. So one of the important strategies that we are focusing on this year is to expand in all these 12 Fortune 500 clients so that we can generate more revenue per customer from each of these relationships that we have. We continued on our sales path also. So now I talk about the future growth strategies, which is what we continue to follow pre-IPO and post-IPO as well. These are five major areas that we want to grow in, a combination of organic and inorganic. One is, you know, expanding into the existing clients, which we talk about cross-selling and upselling and going deep into those accounts. Focusing on the right targets in the industries that we are working on. So our targeted go-to-market is very focused. Then generating new clients from all the three geographies that we work in, US, Germany, and Middle East. And then, you know, building our, so what we're doing is now we are with the two objectives of new sales and generating sales from the existing customers, we are creating small business units, or I will say not business units, I will say small sales units called as pods. We're creating these pods for verticals like storage, virtualization, media, publishing media, and SDO. So these are focused into that segment only. And then we are also creating pods for accounts where we want to penetrate deeper. So each of these you know, Fortune 500 companies, we are focusing on trying to generate more business within the same team. So, and the bigger one is the inorganic growth. So we continue to look out for the right targets. We are not stopping because we have recently acquired one. We have sufficient cash in the bank, and we can also leverage ourselves slightly to generate some debt, which can be used to acquire any suitable target that come our way. So we are active in the same space that we were active for previously also, like ServiceNow, user experience, automation, DevOps kind of space. So we continue to find targets there. Now jumping on to the consolidated financials for Q3 ended on December 31st, 2019. So if I look at the 9 months comparison from December 19 to December 18, we have grown in total income from 92 crores to 116 crores. Expenditure grew from 71 crores to 88 crores. And the EBITDA from 21 to 27 crores. EBITDA margin is improved slightly from 22.8 to 23.7%. From PAT point of view, we have increased from 17.18 to 19.53 crores. And the PAT margin has slightly dipped from 18.6 to 16.8%. Now let me, you know, help you recollect that over a longer period of time, we come back to our margin percentage, which is about 15% of PAT margin. And EBITDA margin is about 22-24% is what we aim to maintain long term also. So we are fairly in line with our estimates and anticipation. If I just look at the December 19 quarter as compared to September 19 quarter, we have grown from 33 crores to 51 crores. Actually, it's 33.7 to 51.8 crores, close to 52 now. Expenditure from 23.8 to 41 crores. EBITDA from 9.8 to 10.8. EBITDA margin is slightly suppressed because of philosophy consolidation. But we anticipate that we'll be able to improve those numbers moving forward. This was the first consolidation, so there were multiple write-offs in terms of bad debts or the outstanding account receivables. So the margin is slightly suppressed. But moving forward, we should be able to retain, as I said, 22 to 24% EBITDA margin range comfortably. Looking at PAT numbers, we have increased from 7.1 crores to 7.7 crores. So PAT margin depressed from 21% to 15% closely, close to 15%. EPS has improved from 2.9 to 3.2. So that's the P&L for quarterly numbers. When I look at the balance sheet, I purposefully included this slide because, you know, I'm sure a lot of you would have questions around how the balance sheet changed in terms of philosophy consolidation. So this is the first consolidation balance sheet. Therefore, we said, you know, let's publish it here. Otherwise, we are required to do it only half yearly. But nevertheless, this is an important you know, information. So we said, let's publish it out. So I can start from assets. Fixed non-current assets, the fixed asset portion increased from 10 crores to 48 crores. This is on account of consolidation from philosophy, which includes work in progress, right of use asset, and intangible assets of about 30 odd crores. So that's a bigger change that has included here. On the financial assets, we increased by 6 crores. Now, this is on the virtue of cash added to the business. The deferred tax assets moved up from 10 crores to 24.46 crores. Now, this is an inclusion of gap provision on the
deferred tax on intangible assets.
Yeah, deferred tax on intangible assets due to gap provision. And this also includes a MAT added for last 9 months, because this is from 31st of March, 2019. Then I look at non-current assets. So that's what we look at, non-current assets, which has increased from 60 crores to 120 crores. The current assets, mostly financial assets, have improved from 67 to 76. This is on account of cash and account receivables. And then other current assets from 6.6 to 7.3 crores, which is a regular business increase. Then I look at the total asset number, 135 crores, move to 204 crores. I go back to the liability side. The shareholder funds has increased from 125 crores to 143 crores. This is on account of the profit retained earnings. And then the non-current liabilities, the financial liabilities from 12 lakhs to 3.8 crores. This is on account of the lease leasehold from philosophy, because of the lease liability from the philosophy. This is the in-days treatment that we have to make these days. Then there is a provision of, the provisions have increased from 2.8 to 5 crores. This is towards gratuity and leave encashment liabilities. The non-current liabilities and is about from 0 to 20.9 crores. This is the future payment that we have to make in the long term, more than 1 year outstanding. So this will be like after 1 year we have to we have this liability on our books. There is long-term non-current liability. The total has moved from 2.9 crores to 29 crores from the total non-current liability. Now I jump on to the current liability segment. The financial liabilities are from 82 lakhs to 5.7 crores. Now this is on account of trade payables, mostly from philosophy books, and other liabilities, the short-term liabilities, the again towards the lease part of it. Then I look at other current liabilities, which is from 65 lakhs to 21.39 crores. Now this is the immediate, this includes the immediate payment that we need to make to philosophy towards the acquisition side. By the way, the process is going on, so the next tranche of about 10 crores is going to go in the next couple of days, which was due on in February, and because philosophy has closed their year in December 2019, so their next tranche was due in first week of Feb, which we are already processing. And then there's a total, so there's the provisions, this is reduced from 5 crores to 3.78 crores.
That's the cost of income tax.
This is a regular income tax provision that we make. So essentially, the total equity and liabilities increased from 135 crores to 204 crores. So I'll be happy to answer more questions around this if there are any during the Q&A. The last slide is the typical market data. It is not relevant as of today, but as of 31st of December, market cap was 157 crores based on the market price of 65.4 on a trailing PE of 6.1. That's pretty much it from the business update side and for the quarter. I can open it for the Q&A. Inba, please help in getting questions.
Sure, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. An operator will take your name and announce your turn. Any participant who has a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of D.A. Sharma from Duke's Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Hello, Avinashji. How are you?
Very well, sir. How are you?
I am good. I have two questions here. One is technical development expenses written off. The entry is not there in this quarter. Any reason for that?
So it is written off already. So there is no...
So it's the balance. There is no balance, you mean?
No, nothing.
Okay. And we have seen somewhere that the philosophy customers are like Amazon and Weaver. So since how long is their relationship on?
So all the three big names that we talked about, American Express is there for a couple of years now. Amazon and Weaver are recent customers.
Okay, and
within the last fiscal year, I mean, there in the year, in the calendar year 2019.
Okay, and what percentage of turnover would these big names have?
So I would say if I put together all the six customers out there, mm-hmm. they would contribute about 30-35% revenue.
35%.
Yeah, only six names out there.
Okay, and in depreciation and amortization, the number is 482 as against 187. So, what would be the increase meant for?
Right. So, So there are two components that we have got from Philosophy. One is their own depreciation cycle, and second is we have a big chunk of intangible assets of about 6 million, which we are amortizing over a period of 10 years on the GAAP provision.
So
that like amortization, and there is a right of use of assets because of the Ind AS. So this is also adding up. So if I were to look at the total Philosophy impact, I would say it is in the range of 1 crore rupees.
The Philosophy part is 1 crore in this?
Yes.
So that would be 287. Okay, and so that would mean 287, and the balance would be from Infobeam's India operations right now.
Right. So as I said, we have started this new office at Crystal ID Park. We expanded the first floor office.
So
this is also now showing up in the depreciation chart.
Okay. So basically, no outstanding debit balances are written off, no, here?
No.
Receivables or recoverables?
No, I don't think so, no.
No.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you, Avinash ji. Thank you very much. And all
Thank
the best.
You, my pleasure.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Ayush Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I would like to know what would be the components inside our other income.
Okay, so other income typically contributes all the income from the investment and any fixed deposits, corporate bonds, funds and fixed deposits. That's one. Second is any forex gain that we make out of that. So these are the two main components.
Okay, that was helpful. And the second question would be, why are we provisioning so less for tax, sir?
We're provisioning what?
Our tax rate is very low. If you can see, like we are this quarter, we have done 8%. So how are we provisioning so low for tax?
Okay, so if I were to look at the standalone numbers, the tax rates will be a little higher, close to max. That is what is applicable to us in India. In case of Philosophy, we are taking this depreciation and amortization component, which is reducing the tax liability.
Plus, okay.
The tax liability for this quarter is pretty low in the US at this point in time.
I couldn't get that far.
It is because of the consolidation, numbers are coming low. But I think it will catch up in next few quarters.
Okay, right. And what would be the tax rate for Philosophy, sir?
So it is 28% corporate tax, including both state and federal for the US.
They so around the same we are paying in India, right?
So in India we are paying MAT, which is lesser, which is about 18%.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we are an SEZ operation in India.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So that is where the tax incremental is. But what we are assuming is with the all the amortization, we could probably reduce that tax. Overall tax impact in the books.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Doobie Rex from iThought Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Regarding the current asset, we have around 77 crores, right? Is that all in cash or some cash equivalent is there?
So it includes cash and account receivables.
Okay. And what is the net cash position now for us?
It would be, if I were to look at, let me just... What is the net cash portion here? 76 crores?
Net cash portion is 27.5.
Investment is 12 crore and this investment long term 44. 44 plus 12?
50.
56 plus 81.
Yeah, so at a consolidation level, it is about 80 crores.
Okay.
When I look at long-term investments, cash and cash in bank. So it's long-term, short-term, and cash in bank. When I look at three things, including philosophy books, I see it is about 80 crores. However, we have to pay excess cash from the business back to philosophy, which would be reduced by about 9 crores.
Okay.
So if I were to put together all of these numbers and some cash that we have to pay to shareholders, by this we would reduce about 20 or crores. So we'll be back to 60 crores.
Okay, fine. Thank you. And
so this is a rough calculation.
Okay. Got it. And one more question regarding the Chennai Center you're opening. Is it for only one client or is it going to be like serving other clients also?
So it is a Fortune 500 client having a global presence.
Okay.
And the part of the deal that they agreed to was that they want us to open office in the same building and possibly the same floor that they are in.
Okay.
So that's the kind of sales pitch that we got into. And since it is a much large client and we are working with this client globally,
In
five countries, Germany, Czech Republic, India, Malaysia, and one more I'm missing. So we are working with them in five places at this point in time.
Okay.
So we found it very strategic to commit to it and, deliver value to the client right from their premises, very close to their premises.
Okay.
So it was mostly for strategic reasons that we have to do it.
Okay.
But we are hopeful that this will lead us to expand into this account in a much larger way.
Okay. So as of now, they will service only one client, right, from this particular location, from Chennai?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for answering the questions. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone with a question may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Ayush Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I would, if you could get a guidance of how much are we planning to grow organically?
So, that's a tough thing to answer. I was anticipating us to grow around 10 to 15% in this fiscal. I am obviously proved wrong. So, it is difficult to, give out that guidance. All I can say is we should be better in the next quarter compared to this quarter. But yeah, for the yearly guidance, standalone basis, there is hardly any guidance that I can give you. On the consolidated level, yes, we are growing, fast. And, you can obviously hear that, this next quarter should be better than this quarter. Because traditionally, December quarter is dull for both US companies and Indian companies.
Right.
To Diwali, Christmas, Thanksgiving, multiple holidays. So we should be able to have a better billing next quarter. That's what I can say.
And what kind of indications do you have from your clients?
Multiple clients, multiple situations. Many times, like a client will have budget limitations. At times, like for one client, the Chennai client, they were debating on their licensing arrangement with the software provider, and we were building applications on that particular software. So since they were debating their licensing arrangement, our work was on hold. But now that is cleared up, they are back in action. So multiple clients, multiple stories, right? Multiple issues. One client didn't add enough revenue for themselves, so they wanted to slow down. The other client wants to, look at their own centers in Bangalore to offshore the work rather than moving to me. So multiple things happening in all the directions. But as I said, this is a normal course of business. You grow in one, you lose in some, you grow in another. So that's the battle to win here is how we can deeper relationships and wider relationships into an organization. So even if one business unit is not growing, we can aim to grow in another one. So that's the balancing act that needs to happen within the clients and across the clients.
Right.
So we are actively working in that direction. And with philosophy coming in, I can share some synergistic value here is that because of their capabilities that they offer, we have now a much larger portfolio, and we could get two new clients going along with philosophy and jointly pitching. So the value is starting to show up with philosophy relationship also. So eventually, as I said, things will start to add up, and we should be able to ride those ups and downs in some clients and come out stronger. So that's a constant effort that we continue.
That's great to hear, sir. And sir, how much would be our top 10 clients and top 5 clients contributing to our revenue in the 9 months this year?
Right. So typically, top 10 clients, have been contributing to InfoBeans in the range of 70% to 80%. I don't think anything has changed in the last 9 months also. But since
right.
the consolidated philosophy, I'll have to relook at that. But yes, that's the same range, I would say, that top 10 customer contributes to us.
Right.
We always have this philosophy of working with lesser customers, but building deeper relationship with them. That's where you see the top 10 customers will have an average age of about 8 years with us. So that's the philosophy we follow. And that's what we bring to the our new acquisition also, because they don't have very high repeatability of their clients. We want to bring in the same thing in their scenario also.
Right. And sir, on a standalone basis, if I can see, we provide a lot of services across different verticals, right? What would be our top two segments or top three segments if we can share, so we can, at least keep a tab or track of that, how if we are growing in that space. So what would be a top three segments in which, the clients ask for the most services, or where our billing is higher, something like that, if you can share?
It is, I would rather avoid doing that, because we are still a very small business to verticalize it by the services that we offer. There are three prime services that I mentioned in the start, which is product engineering, digital transformation, and automation DevOps.
Okay.
Right. So these are the three broad areas, but essentially we can waver from one vertical to another just based on one client. If one client comes and gives me a couple of $1 million business in one segment, I would overnight transform myself into fastest growing digital transformation segment or fastest growing product engineering segment. But it means nothing, because the next quarter, I might have a different story altogether. It's a very small business to categorize into verticals at this point in time, though we are attempting to do it, but I am not confident about its value at this point in time.
Right.
Yeah. So it is useful for multi-billion-dollar businesses to categorize the business into these verticals and say that, okay, fine, digital transformation is growing 100%, or mobility is growing so fast. For us,
right.
it is all custom software development, and a client looks at it holistically. They don't come and say, okay, fine, I only want product engineering from you. I don't want to do digital transformation.
Right.
And many times it also overlaps. So it is, at this size, it is a little premature to define and track it on those levels.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may press star and one. So there are no further questions from the participants.
All right. Thank you very much for your time and patience. Appreciate your affinity for InfoBeans, and look forward to continue the same. And as I say, we continue to charter our growth path and continue to be both on the organic and inorganic side, focusing on trying to grow the business one step at a time, but ensuring that we have a lot of sustainability and repeatability from our clients. So thank you once again for your time and patience. you know, appreciate your support all this while. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.